Hello there. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Why are you pulling that weird face? And Shaka Hislop is with us as well. We also welcome to the programme Luis Garcia, Gamar Gotti. All right, Gab down there. And Julian Laurent with us, of course, to discuss the big news today. Yesterday, Lionel Messi landed in Barcelona. We thought that was it. It was just going to be a matter of dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and he would renew his contract at the club. However, a massive bombshell dropped today as Barcelona tweeted out saying Messi will not continue. This was the statement that was attached to that. Despite FC Barcelona and Lionel Messi having reached an agreement and the clear intention of both parties to sign a new contract today, this cannot happen because of Spanish La Liga regulations on player registration. As a result of this situation, Messi shall not be staying on at FC Barcelona. Both parties deeply regret that the wishes of the players and the club will ultimately not be fulfilled. FC Barcelona wholeheartedly expresses its gratitude to the player for his contribution to the aggrandizement of the club and wishes him all the very best for the future in his personal and professional life. Some Spanglish there to start us off. Gab, as someone who's not surprised by much, you were surprised by this.
I was surprised by it at first because I told myself, wait a minute, you knew what the salary cap was. You've been talking to Messi. You've been saying for months that this is your number one priority is getting him signed. So you knew how much he wanted. You knew what he could afford. You ended up committing north of $50 million in U.S. dollars on wages and 9 million euros for Emerson and then the wages of Eric Garcia and Aguero and Memphis Depay. Did you do your sums wrong? I mean, that floored me. But then I looked at it a little bit closer, and already the reports are coming out. This is basically a power play. There's a lot more that's going on here. It has to do with the deal that was struck between Javier Tebas, the chief of La Liga, and CVC Capital Partners, which is a private equity group, which has agreed in principle, though it has yet to be approved by the clubs, a deal to whereby they get 10% of Liga revenues in exchange for injecting around $3.2 billion in La Liga. Probably has a little bit to do with the Super League as well. Maybe has a little bit to do with Laporta basically saying, okay, yeah, look, Messi is really important to La Liga. You have all these grand plans. Even if we're out a little bit relative to the salary cap, you got to meet us halfway, dude. You got to help us out. You got to be a little bit flexible here. That was my first reaction. It's a lot easier to blame Tebas and La Liga than it is maybe to suggest that you got your sums wrong or you couldn't get a deal done with Lionel Messi.
So that's it, Jules. This is just a massive game of bluff.
But that's the first thing I thought is Barcelona bluffing and that statement and the way he came so quickly after that meeting today between Jorge Messi, Leo Messi and Joan Laporta as well, that we know that was a tense meeting. We know that there were clearly some disagreement as well. And so soon after that, to almost end it like this, ending 21 years of the greatest player of all time, marriage with one of the greatest team and club of all time as well, I thought was just, okay, this is the poker game starting. And I see many poker games here. I see one between Barcelona and La Liga, and as well we saw what Real Madrid came up with later in the day, and you could add Real Madrid to Barcelona against La Liga, like Gab very well explained. I think it's also a poker game between Laporta and the Messi family and the Messi clan. We know that they don't agree on commissions that Barcelona will have to pay to the Messi family, and that could also be a big problem. And I think the fact that Barca came out first put also some pressure on the Messi clan and the Messi family. So I can see these the game cards everywhere, and I that's why I still think that Messi will end up staying.
Luis, what's been the reaction in Spain?
Well, shocking. As you can imagine, everybody was surprised about the first news of Lionel Messi, the first moment that I received a text message saying, listen, Messi is leaving. I thought that is not true. That wasn't my word. I can tell you it was a bit tougher than that one, but it's true that it was shocking for everybody. But everybody understands that is something happening between that. I think that after the Superliga, something was not happening around the two top teams in Spain, Barcelona, Real Madrid, making a statement at the same time. So things are happening, as you guys just mentioned. And of course, it's a shocking news for everybody. But I think there's still a lot to be happening in the next coming days.
So he's leaving at the moment, but he might not be leaving, but we don't know.
Yes.
Because it's all potentially some big...
big game of chess.
Power yes. play. Mm-hmm. I saw Real Madrid put a statement out as well regarding the
CDC.
The business that's been going on with La Liga and the injection from the investment.
That sums it up.
Well, I'd rather it was just I honestly would rather it was just right, he's leaving, that's it, done and dusted, and let's see where he's going. If this is just another 2 or 3 weeks of wrangling, and I don't know, it's just one big mess, isn't it? I mean, I don't think it looks great in him either, to be honest, if that's what it is. But
I don't think it has anything to do with him. I mean, the weird thing for me, obviously, is Italian. And first of all, let me say off the top, I believe it when I see it, that Lionel Messi is no longer with Barcelona playing in some other shirt. That being said, surely, while Messi's been away at Copa America and on holidays, the club have been having discussions with his representatives. It's not as though they really were waiting for him to come back to flush this out, to have the final say. They knew this was going on for quite some time. They knew this was a possibility while they're signing the likes of Aguero and Depay, as Gab mentioned. What this highlights to me is, again, how poorly Barcelona are run as a club. The debt that they're carrying in excess of 1 billion euros, their wages outstrip revenues. And now this, with Messi, the crown jewel in that football club's crown. How does this happen? How does this drag out all summer long, and within 24 hours of him arriving back in Catalonia, this bombshell of the news? And it really is farcical when you think that we are talking about one of the greatest players of all time and one of the great clubs of world football.
It's quite disappointing to sit here now and think it's all potentially a power play.
Right.
from a football perspective, I think it is, because, you know, he has served that club magnificently, of course. And a lot of people, myself included, would have quite liked to see him, or like to have seen him or see him, go somewhere else and ply his trade somewhere else. That's not to say...
West Ham? You know, honestly,
not quite.
To West.
That's not to say that staying at Barca is not the right thing for him, but I think a lot of people would like to see him go and have a fresh challenge. And I was kind of thinking, well, this is it, but obviously there are a lot of things underneath that are we don't quite know about.
Gab, just to put it just all in layman's terms, basically, in La Liga, every club has got a certain amount of salary which they can spend on players. Barcelona, as Shaka said, has exceeded that. And the hope was that they would basically give Barcelona some leeway in offering Lionel Messi a new contract, because Messi is very much the poster boy of La Liga. So it's basically a massive standoff. Is that right? Between La Liga and between Barcelona. Barcelona saying, look, if you want La Liga to be a success, you need Messi. And La Liga saying, look, everyone's got to live under these same rules. You've got to abide by them. You've got to get rid of him. Is that where we stand? And is it all going to be down to La Liga whether or not they're going to cave?
I think, to answer your first question, yeah, I think you photographed it correctly. The salary cap is based on projected revenues and costs and whatnot. But you kind of know what it is ahead of time, right, going into the summer. You can still sell players, but it's difficult for Barcelona to sell their players, as we know, because they all make too much money. But that's the idea. And so one way this gets resolved is that Tebas looks around and says, well, wait a minute. I can't afford to lose Lionel Messi because people pay a lot of money for Liga rights, including this network. And without Lionel Messi, it's just not as valuable. Maybe CVC Capital Partners also get cold feet. Wait, we're giving you $3.2 billion, but we want Messi to be part of it. That's certainly one reading of it. That seems to me to be the most obvious reading, the most pro-Laporta reading, if you will, where Laporta sits down with Messi's agent, who also happens to be his dad, and says, hey, don't worry about it. We got this all agreed. We're going to go and scare Javier Tebas, and he's going to cave. That's the most obvious reading. But I think it goes beyond that. They might want to blow up the CVC deal, because ultimately, longer term, it means Real Madrid and Barcelona giving up a lot of control, not just to La Liga, but to CVC Capital Partners as well, to an external investment group who you know, going to have all sorts of covenants and what they do. And then there's a third possibility, which is, as sometimes happens, you agree a deal, but then it comes down to sign the papers and say, hey, by the way, it's going to cost you an extra million here, an extra million there. So those are kind of the three scenarios. We don't know, but tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock local time, Gian Laporta will be addressing the media, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity. But you know what? I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay. So let's just say he leaves, that this is done, that whatever is going on sees him leave Barcelona. According to the bookies, Jules, PSG is the most likely of destinations. First off, if PSG wanted this to happen, could they make it happen?
They certainly believe that they could. Yes, they've been working on a potential offer, let's call it that way, for weeks now. We've mentioned it many times on the show. They never believed that he would leave Barcelona, but just in case, to be ready, if that day happened, and that day could be today, then they wanted to be ready and to be able to offer Messi something. We know that the contact between the Messi family and PSG has always been on. And certainly they believe that they would have enough, especially this summer when financial fair play is on holidays, let's put it that way, that this could be the time that you could keep Neymar, who's already extended his contract, that you can still have Mbappe probably for the last year, and then add Messi to your squad, to your roster, and that they could make this work. I've always been skeptical in terms of numbers that they could afford all of them. And now you also have to add Wijnaldum and Donnarumma and Sergio Ramos, their wages, their transfer fees for Hakimi, his wages as well. So they will also have to sell, which is all part of the same plan. But certainly, although right now I'm being told they still believe he will stay and that this is all a big bluff, they seem to be ready potentially to make him an offer. And right now I can only see them being able to afford him.
Gav, have you had a good après-ski? Why are you giggling so much?
No, I just looked at the list of potential destinations. It's all the familiar names. And then I see Inter Milan. And I'm thinking to myself, wait, is this the only scenario, I think, unless there's something I don't know, even if Lukaku leaves, the only scenario, I think, in which Messi moves to Inter is the one where Messi goes and buys the club from Suning and installs himself there. I mean, that really would be, you know, or he goes there and, you know, reveals he's been an Inter fan all along and he's going to play for free or something. But, man, yeah, no, sorry about that. I couldn't help myself. I don't know who makes these odds. I'm sure there's a lot of thought behind them.
My favourite one's any MLS club.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not going to Portland Timbers. Not going to Columbus.
He might.
Not going to New England Revolution.
Stadium.
Huh? Not, he's not going to Kansas.
Right. See if you have any MLS clubs you can name.
I'm struggling. But I'm thinking of cold ones.
But you think Inter Miami, LA Galaxy, the usual suspects.
Correct.
Wouldn't it be?
It's not at that. Well, not at that point. So,
how keen would you be to see him at PSG?
I just think it'd be nice to see him going somewhere else. That's nothing against Barcelona, but I do think it would be a little boost for him towards the end of his career, because everybody's career comes to an end, and there's no doubt he's not there yet, but it's heading that way. And I think it would do. But I think, as a player, sometimes it would do you as good. A change is as good as a rest.
Right.
And, yeah. I mean, he's not been able to get Barcelona over the line in the last couple of years, so it's not going to be easy to go. And I'm just thinking about, if I'm the manager at PSG, I would just keep... I mean, that's a super talented team.
The last 2 days we've been discussing whether Neymar's been a failure because PSG don't win. If this 11 doesn't win the Champions League, footballers fail.
Luis, it's not a bad front line. Is it Messi, Mbappe and Neymar?
Can you tell me another three that with that powerful problem? Maybe Manchester City at the moment, but not many teams in Europe or in the world can have that amazing quality up front. But I still don't see it. We are talking about Lionel Messi leaving Barcelona. I think he doesn't have to leave. I mean, he was already outside because I think the contract ended the 30th of June, if I can recall. So he's a free agent at the moment. So people is talking about, no, he's leaving Barcelona. No, he's already left. So he's a free agent and anyone can sign him. So we'll see what happens.
It was interesting, you know, what Gab was saying, I think it was Gab saying, there's a press conference for tomorrow morning, morning European time, at 11 a.m. or give or take. But I presume we haven't heard so far from the Messi camp.
No.
And I wonder if we are going to hear from them, because that's... until they say something, I don't think we're going to get much clarity. I think, as Gab said, it will be a press conference tomorrow that might tell us little. But until him himself or his father comes out, then I think we're all going to be... Everybody's just going to be guessing here at the strategy.
Meanwhile, Jules, Harry Kane has gone very much down the pecking order. he's still a Gab's Alpine retreat. The reason I bring him up is that could we foresee a situation where Manchester City will look at that Kane money and go, well, you know what? Why don't we just get Messi?
yeah, of course. It's always possible. I just think that the strategy for the summer is Grealish and Kane. And, of course, there was a time where there were talks about Messi. We know that last summer, when Messi was already close to leaving Barcelona, that they had a long chat with Pep Guardiola. And of course, it would have been such a romantic way for him to go back to play with Pep again. I just think this time is gone, and that moment was last summer, not this summer again. And I really cannot see them already so involved in their recruitment. Grealish is done, Kane is the next one. They've been working on it. I mean, he's on strike. So if they said to him, hey, it was nice from you to go on strike, but you know what, actually we're going to sign someone else, I don't think that will happen. I think it would be Grealish and Kane, and that Messi will not end up at City if he does leave Barcelona.
Yeah, and I think what Jules is saying, you know, City's priority has been the number nine. They've gone the opposite way about it at the moment. The Grealish deal is done, but they're definitely after a striker, and we know it's Kane. There's no doubt about that. But look, let's look at it from the other perspective. This news is broken today. But you're telling me none of these big wigs at all these clubs knew that this kind of thing was going to happen? You're telling me nobody at Man City, bearing in mind Messi's former manager and other people that have been at Barcelona, don't speak to his representatives, or indeed maybe him himself, bearing in mind there's a free transfer, and they get a pointer into what's going on. And so they probably realise that what the boys have been talking about is that this is all one big play in Spain, and the potential is that he's going nowhere. So they're just going to carry on with their business.
Right.
And they're going to sign Grealish, and they're going to sign Kane, potentially, and then other clubs are going to go out and spend, because they know that the likelihood is that he's not going to leave, and probably the word on the street amongst the people that are involved in this, they probably knew, you know, not saying weeks ago, but certainly, you know, at least a day or two ago, that this was going to happen.
Right. Last word on this to everyone. Luis, September 1st, of course, we'll see the transfer window close. Where's Lionel Messi?
With Barcelona shirt.
Gab?
Barcelona.
Jules?
PSG! Oh. I've got all three shirts. I've got them all. Number 10, Messi, everything. No, I'm kidding. Barcelona.
Jack?
Barcelona.
Wow.
Barcelona.
Wow. There you go, then.
Oh, it's back to Harry Kane.
What an awful football player that was.
I tell you what, if he turns up for training, I'm going to be disappointed.
Just a reminder, you keep up to date with all the latest transfer news between now and the end of the transfer window on August the 31st. Go over to our website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's talk about a deal that has been done. Jack Grealish is a Manchester City player after breaking that British record, £100 million, making that move from Aston Villa to City. Craig, I know this is a player that you really like.
Yeah, I do like him, yeah. And you know, it's a shame for Villa, but, you know, he's got big aspirations and you so have City. You know, a big clamber for him to be in the England team during the Euros on a regular basis. Didn't quite happen for him. But like a lot of players that go to City, and I think about, you know, even De Bruyne, I think about Sterling, and there are others, Kyle Walker, many, many more, this manager improves you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Riyad Mahrez went in, and he was a bit slack to start with after his Leicester career, and he was too many touches, and kind of Guardiola hammered that out of him. And I think here we have a player who's super talented and can get better. And I think he's going to work under him. Not that Dean Smith is not a great manager, but the City manager is one of the cream. And he works with players and he gets the extra bit out of players. And if he does that with Jack Grealish, he's got an even better player.
What difference does he make? What does he bring to...
Well, I think he's going to have to add more in the final third. You know, he's, the pressure's on for end product, for goals, for assists, for just fitting in with the team play, with the pressing game, all that goes with it. So he is going to have to... Listen, even for Jack Grealish, this is a new level for him, right? It's a new level of going in, and it's like looking around the Villa team and you know you're the top dog.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you walk in here and you have a couple of bad games, your chin's on the floor, right? Because you're out.
Right.
Right. And you're now doubting yourself. And so it's a big pressure for him. The price tag, what is expected of him, his teammates, what they expect, his manager, what they expect, what he expects. And I think it's a big pressure on the lad, but I think he's good enough. What extra will he give him? Somebody that can take the ball in, you know, beats people, is strong in possession, can attract players around him. He's very physical. We know, if you like the stats, he's fouled a lot. But somebody that can go past. But, and I think they have got those kind of players to an extent, but he gives them, I don't know, something a little bit different to Bernardo Silva and Riyad Mahrez and Raheem Sterling and players, and even Phil Foden, players of that ilk.
I think where he differs from Raheem Sterling, and as per that lineup that we just had up on the screen, whereas Raheem Sterling, because of his pace, he can get in behind teams and stretch his defences, Grealish is a whole lot better in tight spaces. So when teams sit in the box and crowd the box, Grealish, I think that's when Grealish is at his best. At the same time, you've also seen Kevin De Bruyne miss a few games because of injury over the last couple of seasons, and City haven't looked as good without him. Grealish can sit centrally, can be that focus of your attack, play a little bit deeper as well, and be the creative spark in midfield if that happens with Kevin De Bruyne yet again. So I think it ticks a lot of boxes for Pep Guardiola.
And a big pressure on a player who performed well last year in Gundogan, who, for some reason, go back over it again, but that crazy decision in the Champions League final...
Yes.
To play him in this deeper position when he had his best ever goal-scoring season. So I think, as Shaka mentioned, you've got Grealish who can bridge the two things. He can be an attacking player, he can be a deeper player, and he can add goals to his game, even more goals, and that'll take the pressure off people like Gundogan, and it'll give the manager even more options. So, yeah, I don't think 100 million's great, but I think it's a great signing.
Luis, how highly do you rate Jack Grealish?
Big player, and the guys just mentioned. I mean, he's one of those players who's got the full package. He can control the ball, he can pass players, he's going to score goals, and I think the most important is that creativity he brings up front. He's a player who knows very well how to get into the pockets and break lines. And last year, I think At some point, Manchester City struggles so much to break lines of defense. And this is a player who knows exactly the turns that he does with the body, with the control. He's just fantastic. He knows where the spaces are. He can combine. He can assist players. And he's so versatile. You can play in the middle. You can play in the wide areas. You can play as a false nine. That is a way that Pep Guardiola loves to play players. So I think it's a good add to this team. Yeah, 100 million is a lot. But when you are trying to find the perfect, because they got everything, and you guys mentioned it, they got so many players in so many different positions, but if you had to bring a perfect player for that, those kind of scenes that Pep Guardiola likes, you know you're going to have to spend, because it's going to be young and get all the spots to play. Skillful, technique, fight, good stamina. So everything, he's got everything. So I think it's a fantastic signing for Pep Guardiola team.
That deal done. Then, Gab. Meanwhile, we were talking yesterday as it was almost an inevitability that Lukaku could be returning to Chelsea. Has that somewhat stalled over the last 24 hours?
Hasn't necessarily stalled. Obviously, there was a big backlash, including from the fans, the ownership group, Stephen Jang, certainly briefing that, well, you know, they certainly want to keep Lukaku. I think, you know, the numbers are pretty obvious. And I think Inter's line here is, we value him at a very, very high price. The 130 million euro number has been thrown out there. I think for 130 million, as much as you value Lukaku, he is 28 years old. And I think at that point, especially given the club's financial situation, the question becomes, okay, for that money, you sell, but how do you reinvest it into the team? Because that is what the fans want. I think the fans understand that you have to make sacrifices, but the guy you were going to sacrifice was Ashraf Hakimi. At this point, we don't want players to be sold, and then you take the money and use it to pay down debt or other things. So we want to see reinvested in the team. And I think that's kind of what has sort of put this on hold a little bit. I think also from Inter's perspective, you know, they've been clear. They've said, we value him at this number. You offered considerably less than that. So let's sit back and let's see if you reach our valuation. Remember, too, Lukaku is not aching to get out of the club. He's very happy in Milan. He's made it very clear that he's very happy in Milan. And he's happy to stay in Milan. So, you know, without the club, but without the player pushing for a move, I think at this stage it really would have to be Chelsea meeting Inter's valuation or coming close to it or putting some package together that works for Inter. And at the same time, Inter lining up replacements that will maybe not satisfy the fans, but at least will stop them from, you know, coming around with pitchforks and torches around the San Siro.
Chelsea's need is great. That and Inter will know that Chelsea are actively, desperate is the wrong word, but, you know, really aggressively seeking a front man. We know he's not the number one target, but we know who was. That's a difficult one to get over the line. As Gab said, he looked, the guy's happy over there. He looked happy in the way he played. He was successful. But Inter are needing the money. Or they're struggling for the money. So it's a game of bluff here. I think 130 million euros is too high. But it depends on Chelsea's desperation. And if they are going to challenge, and that is the hope, having looked at what, from the Chelsea fans, having looked at what Tuchel did, and his time in charge, and with the Champions League, and with the other pieces of the jigsaw, they're going to need that front man. Unless Timo Werner all of a sudden steps up, or all of a sudden you think Kai Havertz can play as a natural sort of number nine for a whole season, don't think so, you're going to need a guy. And also, if he does come back to Chelsea, I don't think he's got anything to prove to Chelsea, because when they got rid of him, it was different people. But I do think there's a certain club north in England who at Old Trafford who were quite quick to discard him. And I think if he did come back, he would be looking to drive Chelsea to success and stick two fingers up to Manchester United.
Lewis, if they get Romelu Lukaku, does that make them a better side than Liverpool? Does it make them the title challengers to Manchester City?
I don't think that we can call it a better side. I think they are a fantastic side. We saw them last year. There is an ad that is going to have a player like this one is going to give you something. I think they got enough to be contenders, to be challenging for winning the trophies. But of course, this kind of player, they are going to add you 25, 30 goals in a season. of course, going to make you better and probably compete even easier against the top teams for next year, Manchester City, Manchester United and Liverpool. So we'll see what happens, because I still think there is going to be more moves. If this situation of Lionel Messi is going to maybe change something with Harry Kane, Lukaku, Tammy Abraham, I think he's also in the middle because one of the centre forwards of Chelsea is going to be maybe involved in another change. I think that we still... a little bit more to see if Lukaku is going to move to Chelsea. I think the more things are going to happen. Inter Milan wants to win as well Champions League. So if you want to win a trophy like that one, not only the domestic league, you need the best players, the best striker, the best midfielder. And Lukaku is one of them, at least he showed it last year. So I'm not sure if Inter is ready to leave Lukaku.
If he does make this move or whatever, you're going to have some fun, aren't you?
What, with your fellow countrymen?
Yeah, hope he's watching this.
right, we've got to let Gab get back on his holiday. Gab, before we let you go...
I can't believe he's come off his holiday for this.
he's not really come off.
Gab, September 1st, where's Romelu Lukaku?
Ooh. I think he's still going to be at Inter, but I feel a lot less strongly about this than I do about Lionel Messi.
All right, Gab, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
It's honour.
Craig's very impressed that you came on. just a reminder.
Oh, who the hell's this? Look at the state of that.
That's the honour, Matt's haircut. Be sure to check out Extra Time. It's always available on our YouTube channel.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Kay Murray will be joined by Frank LeBoeuf, Jurgen Klinsmann, and how did you describe him, Craig?
Potato head. It's about right, isn't it?
Stevie Nicol will be here as well. It's not growing much, is it?
It's not. It's not coming back.
That's it. We'll be back tomorrow then. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Quiet day, really, overall. Not a lot to talk about. So many questions we've had about Messi.
Has anybody on the planet not tweeted about it yet? Everybody has to tweet.
I haven't tweeted about it.
I have. If you want, there you go then.
No, I haven't. But...
Luis, do you even have Twitter?
Yeah, I do, of course. And yes, I did tweet.
Goodness me.
Jump.
You just tweeted a picture of your dogs.
Yes.
Just anti. Everyone's tweeting up, right, here you go. Here's a picture of the dogs.
Yes.
Oh, dear. How is Bentley? He's the young...
Bentley is...
He's the naughty one, isn't he?
He'll be a year old next month.
Yeah.
And he's... Yeah, he's got some juice about him.
Gets that from his owner.
Yeah. He's been in his crate a few times with a little...
Right, Luis. If Messi does indeed end up leaving, will the current Barca players who refuse to leave, earning huge salaries for nothing, become the most hated players of all time by their own fans?
I get results. Results will tell. If the results are going well, no one is going to complain. And probably people will talk about Messi, but the result will tell if they're going to be hated.
How much were you overpaid? How was your salary at Barcelona, Luis?
I can't complain. How was salary?
That's all right. That's why you look like that. Craig looks like that. Who amongst Barca and Real Madrid now have a better squad, Luis?
I guess Atletico Madrid and Sevilla for this season, they're going to be tough to beat. And Atletico is going to be the contender probably. They were last year. And they're going to go for it this year because they look even stronger.
What about Barcelona and Real Madrid? You take a look at both of their squads. Whose is the better out of those two?
For me, Barcelona. Clearly, I think they signed well. I think they improved the squad from last year, and Real Madrid couldn't sign just Alaba, and at the back they're going to suffer because they didn't sign anyone and they let go Sergio Ramos and Rafael Varane. So big blows for them.
Can we expect Luis Griezmann stepping up?
You're going to Barcelona next week.
Oh, there we go. He's just remembered.
No. What a time to go.
Hey, Luis is going to be there as well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, what a lovely time we're going to have together. We've got a couple
of plums coming.
How long did that take? I thought you were going to bring that up sooner.
I just thought of that. You're going to Barcelona.
Can we expect Griezmann stepping up, Luis, since Messi won't be a Barca player next season?
Definitely. I think that we saw a good Griezmann the last month and a half, a little bit more. And I saw a couple of games the preseason, and he looks good. He looks confident. He's done a good partnership with Depay. So I'm expecting very good things from him this year.
Well, he will be a Barca player. You watch the show. Watch the show.
Jules said he's going to PSG.
Whatever time. Yeah, but if he wasn't going to PSG, Jules would have said he's going to Arsenal. That's his second.
Or France.
Yeah. And if he wasn't going to Arsenal, he'd be getting a guest appearance on the Gab and Jules podcast. And he wouldn't get a word in.
Okay, let's get away.
I'm going to say something. When's the gym opening at ESPN?
Well,
I'm getting fat.
Right, okay.
When's the. I've just seen myself on the camera. I don't like it.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember when I used to go in there and put the towel over Shaq?
Yeah.
I need to get back to that.
Right.
Half hour every day. Is it open yet?
From Messi. Luis, do you think your infamous goal against Chelsea in the Champions League would be given today, given VAR?
Come on. Of course.
Didn't cross the line, though, did it?
But big. You can see it. It did cross the line.
If Craig had won the Ballon d'Or...
I wouldn't have gone.
Would you have accepted it?
No.
Why? You accepted the Scottish Player of the Year?
That's different.
Why?
Because that's us. When he talks about Scotland, it says us.
We.
It was a very proud moment.
Well, why is it different to winning the Ballon d'Or?
I had to go into that. I was under.
So the duress.
I don't like the Ballon d'Or.
Right.
Don't mind the
Scottish Player of the Year is okay.
Football Writers.
Right, okay.
Same as Nicol.
Same as Nicol.
He was the English.
Luis, who was the best dribbler of the ball that you played with or against?
That I played with Ronaldinho. I'm dribbling. Fantastic. And against Joe Cole on Chelsea 2004-05, he was flying.
Wow.
Very good. Very difficult to stop.
I thought you were going to say Macker. See? McManaman.
Right. Who was the hardest dribbler that you played against?
The hardest dribbler? Gascoigne was...
Right.
Gascoigne was excellent.
Yeah.
Pick somebody from the Brazil team in the 1998 World Cup.
Oh, were you in the World Cup?
Well, you asked a question.
Did you score?
Not against Brazil.
No.
I may have lobbed. Oh, there we go. Luis, he asked a question.
Now, here we go, Shaka.
Okay.
Would you prefer Trinidad and Tobago to make it to another World Cup or win the Gold Cup?
Oh, that's simple, Jack. Simple. Obviously not.
I'm going to go. I want to see Trinidad and Tobago qualify for another World Cup.
Right.
Gold Cup. Gold Cup.
Craig,
I'm going to get. I told you, I'm getting the team. When's the Gold Cup back on?
2 years time.
Right.
I'd love to go to work to see Trinidad because when I was there, because like Craig, I also played in the World Cup.
Yeah, but
once.
You didn't score.
No, I didn't. I didn't lob anybody, Craig.
No,
didn't. But the whole fan zone is my wife, my brothers, my mom were there, and they loved the experience. My wife. My brothers. And they love the experience, but when you're playing, you don't get to take part of that.
Well, Craig might have some holiday at that stage. He might be working.
Listen.
If I do go on holiday, I'll call in. Like Gab, though, I'll call in.
Because what's it, 2026, it's in America, yeah? Does that work out well?
Gold Cup.
Okay.
Perfect.
Seriously, the World Cup is the pinnacle for players and for people to go and watch. So spare me the Gold Cup. I mean, in 18 months' time, I'll cobble a team together from the Farmington Valley here in Connecticut.
Okay.
And we'll enter into the Gold Cup, see how we get on.
Well, as you know, Craig, winning the Gold Cup is big this side of the pond. Yeah. It's an emotional moment for some people.
And I get that.
You know?
Yeah. Craig, are you looking forward to the Olympic final?
No. Well, final of what?
The soccer between Brazil and Spain.
No,
prediction?
No, I've not watched one second of the Olympics track and field, which is the only thing I would watch.
Okay.
And the soccer...
Bahamas just won the 400 metre men's.
Sorry?
Bahamas just won gold in 400 metres.
So, the soccer... Olympics is for elite sportsmen, right? And the soccer is under 23s and a few golden oldies.
Mm-hmm.
It's an utter nonsense. So I've no interest in it whatsoever. I mean, if I was going to watch it, I'd be watching the 100 metres and the 1500 metres and the javelin and all that. I've just not got into it. But the soccer...
So if you had to go to the World Cup final in the soccer or the Ballon d'Or, which one?
That's stupid.
Well, what if they had them both at the same time? The Ballon d'Or halftime.
Luis, are you as down on the Olympics? Of course, Spain in the final as Craig is.
Yes, of course, Paul. We struggle the 115 minutes, but we are in the finals. Happy to see the youngers doing well.
Are you excited by it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I enjoy watching all of them. I enjoy watching Mexico, even though they couldn't get into the final. But I also watch 100 meters. I also watch water polo. I love Olympics, so I enjoy watching everything.
So the 100 meters, is it under 23s with, what's that? What's his name?
I don't know. Where are you pointing?
Carol Lewis. Is Carol Lewis in it as a golden oldie?
Carol Lewis. Oh, my God. Carol Lewis, Lynford Christie, Ben Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole 1988.
Yeah, that's it. Under 23s and a few golden oldies.
That's a great it's a great 30 for 30 if you get a chance to watch that. 9.81, I think it's called. Or 9.79, one of them two. It's all about that 100-metre final.
Ben Johnson,
the steroids. Yeah. It's brilliant. Yeah. Really good. What's the most frustrating thing, Shakra, about playing in the rain?
About playing in the rain?
Slippy gloves.
It's cold.
Right.
Rain's not cold, always.
I find it's cold. Well, in England, when it rains, and in the States, when it rains, it's cold. When it rains in Trinidad, it's nice and warm. Nice and warm in Trinidad,
So you get cold, that's the worst
thing. I get cold.
No, the worst thing for a goalkeeper can't be the cold.
Well,
it's got to be the conditions.
The slippery ball, you can't get your foot in properly.
Right. What about you, Luis? What's the worst part about playing in the rain?
That if it's too hard, you can't see when you run.
Right.
It gets into your eyes and you don't see properly.
Ah. I've never had that issue.
Well, no, it's just no running. What about you?
No, I don't mind the rain. I'm from Scotland.
Yes.
If you've got a problem playing in the rain...
It's always cold there. It's always cold in Scotland.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
It's cold a lot.
Final question. When will Shaka release a pre-season power ranking? That's from Don. Don's obsessed about your power ranking.
Rangers are number one. Rangers are 1, 2 and 3.
Don wasn't happy about the other night? Something you were winding him up.
We talked about it on yesterday's Extra Time. The high jumpers sharing the gold.
Why did they have to share it?
Because they decided to share it. Because they tied. And
they tied throughout, and there was no...
It's very 2021, isn't it?
Oh, don't you start. It's a nice moment. It's beautiful.
Very special.
But there's got to be a winner.
Why?
No, there isn't.
Why not?
If there was a dead heat in the 100 metres, you wouldn't make them run it again.
Another one. There was a tie. There was a tie for second something the other day.
Even if it was the marathon. And they were tied at the end, it was a dead heat, they'd have to run it again.
Get back to the start.
Right, another 26 miles tomorrow. I don't get
it. This afternoon.
Yeah. Now, go back to the hotel, have an orange, cup of tea.
Have an orange.
And go and run the marathon again.
Oh.
No, it's a very 2021 moment, isn't it?
I think it's a beautiful moment.
No, I said 2021 moment. It's very, very now. Everybody's got to cheer.
Oh, well, not, no, it's just an anomaly. It's just what happened. It's not going to happen every Olympics, is it?
Don't kid on what you know what an anomaly is, because there was a word in the graphic in that statement from Barcelona.
Yes.
Aggrandizement.
Popped up.
Aggrandizement.
Like a curveball, right? Popped up that curveball and you went like that.
Who knows?
Holy smokes, what does that mean?
Aggrandizement. It's not in my lexicon.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I've no idea. It looks very like a Spanish word that's just been translated. That's how you... Have you heard of it before, Sean?
Of course. I aggrandize all the time.
We don't want to know that.
On that note, we'll say thank you very much.
Will I see you before you go to Spain?
I hope not. ESPN FC is back on your screens tomorrow. We're all off.